Morning, everybody, and welcome to the Trademark Room and to this week's podcast. And with me today are...
My name's Ellis. I'm a solicitor at Lawdit and also an intellectual property law consultant at the Trademark Room.
Hello, Ellis. And...
And it's Ian, and I'm a Chinese lawyer and doing an LLM degree at Queen Mary University of London.
Ian, you're here at the Trademark Room and Lawdit. You've been with us a couple of weeks now.
Yes.
Welcome to the team.
Thank you, my pleasure.
Welcome to the United Kingdom. How long have you been here now?
Oh, more than half a year.
About 6 months.
Yes.
And you're at St. Mary's. Is it St. Mary's University? No, Westfield. What university are you at?
Queen Mary.
Queen Mary. What did I say?
St. Mary's.
St. Mary's is the football club in Southampton.
It is, yeah.
So don't get confused. I got confused. And you are a Chinese registered lawyer.
Yes, I'm qualified for 7 years.
7 years?
Yes, quite a long time.
So you had a seven-year itch and you decided to leave China and come over here and train to become a solicitor.
Yes, it's my dream.
Really?
Yes, I'm on the way.
I hope it didn't turn into a nightmare. A bit of humour there by me.
A little bit of humour, yeah. So, obviously, as you said, it's your dream.
Yes.
What made you decide that now was the time to make the leap across the water?
I think it's time to make some change to my life.
Mm-hmm.
And also at my age, I think some career ceiling above me. So I want to break something and I will take a try.
Yeah. Amazing.
Really is quite incredible. We were looking for a Chinese, we being the Trademark Room, we've been looking for recruiting someone for quite a while now.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, sir. I saw your post on the LinkedIn.
Yeah, and it's quite a strange, because it's a clash of cultures, really, and a clash of legal jurisdictions and procedures, which are so completely alien to each other.
Yeah, they're completely different.
You know,
yes.
And notwithstanding that we've used some very good agents over the years, we decided that we'd need to try and do it internally, hence why we've recruited. And so rather than having to go through the agency route and to deal with people who we don't necessarily know, we've got our own now who we like very much and who we think will be very good for anyone wishing to file a trademark in China.
Yeah.
We haven't really marketed it, and so this is really the first time. It's trying to get Yan settled and a foot in the door in order to also for her to embrace the UK and the UK legislation and the UK trademarks. So, from your initial understanding of trademarks, do you accept that there's a big difference between the UK and China in terms of trademarks?
Yes, I think it's the core principle is different.
Yes.
Like in China, we adopt registration principle, and if we want a trademark, we need to register it. Then we can use it.
Mm-hmm.
But in UK, I think it's different.
Yeah, so in the UK, obviously, we've got that registered system, but you can also have unregistered rights.
Yeah.
From my experience, it seems that that unregistered rights doesn't really exist in many places outside of the UK. Like you say, the system is definitely much more, you have to register in order to have the protection.
I think what we've found over the last two decades is the number of similar trademarks which are filed.
Yeah.
Which don't really make any sense from a Chinese perspective, because they don't seem to be interested in having a business out there. They seem to be registering the trademark and then getting the UK client then to oppose it and getting involved in a big... You go down a rabbit hole and it's costing clients thousands upon thousands in order to deal with it.
Yeah, lots of applications potentially filed in bad faith and not filed by the company or person that would genuinely own that trademark. But I think in general, lots of people need Chinese trademarks if they're looking to sort of import and export. I think it's very important. So, yeah, we've definitely seen a rise in the Chinese trademarks that need to be registered.
I mean, what we say to people, if you have any presence in China, if you have sourced, you know, you commissioned your work to be built out in China, you should be thinking about a trademark.
Yes.
And you should be registering that trademark in your own name in China.
Yes, it's a good solution. Yeah, but if sometimes there are a lot of preemptive trademark applications in China, especially for overseas business owners, but the good way is to seek for well-known trademark protection if they haven't registered trademark in China.
Mm.
Yes.
It used to be, maybe it was slightly, racist is not the right word, but maybe prejudicial in that we used to always say that China was the Wild West. You know, anything, they had no intellectual property protection, they could steal your ideas. That's what, I mean, I remember the President of the United States used to say China steals IP. China steals IP, China steals IP. And that's always been as we've been growing up. Would you say that is not true and that it does, to single out China is wrong because America steals IP, UK steals IP, everybody steals IP.
Yes, I think it's the way we started our business. It's the same in the UK, same in the US, but now it's changed. Like in the past, we maybe do something like that, but it's changed.
Yeah. A full system's been developed.
Yes. Yeah. And legal registration gave a great support to intellectual property protection now.
And would you say that the how many trademarks would you say are filed in China? Would you know?
No, millions, I think.
Yeah, a lot. Yeah. I would imagine it's high, yes.
It'd be interesting to see. I think you may have done this for me. I'll have to check. But breakdown of countries.
Yes.
You know, it'd be interesting to see. Because I think you did that for me, didn't you?
Yes.
Because that's an interesting market to see who's targeting China. And I think 15 years ago, the globalisation... was everybody was jumping on the China bandwagon. I think now perhaps the globalisation is not as... We're not so friendly, are we, as to globalisation as to 10, 15 years ago.
Mm.
But maybe that's slowed down, I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, with the things that have happened in the last couple of years, I think it's thrown everything on its head. So it'll be interesting to see, sort of from now on, how people approach business, protecting their rights, whether they're keeping things more sort of closer to home or still looking elsewhere. So yeah, it'd be very interesting.
And do you think from a Chinese perspective, no, let me start again, from an English, from a UK perspective, filing a trademark, let's just say for this conversation, we're going to file the trademark room as a word only in China in one class. So we would keep it as simple as possible. Putting aside for one moment the legal fee, what would the government fee be for that trademark? So one application for one class. Would you know what that would be?
I think it's around 500 yuan.
Okay.
It's not expensive.
Which is how much is currency now? How much is one you want to sterling?
No.
The currency equivalent. So if it's 500 Chinese yen, how much would that be, UK?
In pounds.
About 200?
No. 40 pounds.
Oh, wow, okay. Yeah.
So it's peanuts.
Yes, it's true.
So then the Chinese fee is largely built up of legal fee. That's what hurts people is the legal fee. Because £40 is very manageable in one class. You know, if you're filing in three or four classes, it may be £100-£150, which is still very manageable, but it's the legal fee. It's the fees that the Chinese lawyers charge and or your English lawyers charge. That's what adds it up.
Yes, and I don't think the clients have to pay a high cost on application process.
Yes.
The more expensive fee is on the controversial procedure.
Mm-hmm.
So where in this country the mark is advertised for 2 months,
mm-hmm.
at which point people can oppose your mark and you get into a dispute. So what you're saying is in China, filing is very cheap.
Yes.
But when it's advertised, there could be an opposition.
Yes.
At which point then fees may well be expensive because of the time involved, the translation costs,
yes.
the power of attorney costs, the notary costs. It can add up.
Yes.
Mm. Yeah.
Now, again, it can add up, but also at the same time, when you match it to what goes on over here, let's say, for example, an opposition in this country will cost anywhere between £5,000 and £10,000. That's not going to be that different to China, is it, really?
Mm-hmm.
It's going to be between £5,000 and £10,000 for an opposition.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So, really, the fees, UK and China, are quite similar.
Yes, quite similar, I think.
And it's managing the legal fees. So that's what, hopefully, for those listening, if you're interested in Chinese trademark, the thing that you're most concerned with will be cost. Because you've always got the unknown dealing with Chinese lawyers.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And we're sort of led in the dark, aren't we, by Chinese lawyers. But now we have one with us.
Yeah.
Who's going to be a UK solicitor and a Chinese lawyer. That should give the client comfort, but at the same time, they need to know how much it's going to cost them and the exposure.
Yeah, but and also because obviously Yan is part of our team, we can make those legal costs as manageable as possible. There's no extra time that people have to charge because they're a third party. We can keep it a lot more streamlined to exactly how much the legal work will cost.
And we can do retainers, and we can be imaginative in terms of how we do things.
Okay.
Well, thank you. Thank you, Jan. It was your first podcast.
Yeah.
And how are you finding Southampton, by the way?
Oh, it's a lovely place. I like it.
Apart from today, it's raining. We don't like the rain.
Yeah, never mind. Tomorrow is sunny.
Yes.
Is it?
Yeah.
Great.
Hence my reason for my shorts. I got the wrong day.
Yeah.
And you've been to the Isle of Wight?
Yeah.
Did you enjoy that?
Yes. Yes, I like it too. It looks like Brighton.
It looks like Brighton.
Yes.
Okay.
Mm. Yes, I like Brighton very much.
Yes, Brighton is a very cool place.
Yes.
Queen Victoria used to, because you went to Osborne House.
Yes.
Queen Victoria used to go to Brighton a lot.
Mm-hmm.
She used to like the nude beach.
Yes. Yes, I went there. It's behind the palace.
Mm.
Yes.
Yes.
The nude beach.
Yes.
Yeah. Really? I was only joking. Is there a nude beach in Brighton?
Yes, I have a picture, I can prove it.
Did you go nude, by the way?
No.
Okay, on that note, I think we'll wrap it up. So thank you so much for listening. If you need any more information, then please visit lawdy.co.uk or trademarkroom.co.uk. Pleasure to speak to you both.
You too, Ellis. We'll be doing a lot more of these. And thank you, Jan, and welcome, and live long and prosper.
Yeah, my pleasure. See you next time.
Bye.
Bye. Bye.